Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And that was Kevin's analysis as to why he thinks I'm wrong about the regular season. All right. Did that air?
No. Unfortunately.
No?
It appears it didn't.
Wow, because...
That's twice.
You took about 5.5 minutes to explain that.
That's twice.
What did we air instead of your analysis?
I don't know. I think it was the news.
Well, if it was Cody Jade, it was really good.
Oh, well, then that might be the case. I don't know.
But, you know, I listened to every word you said. You're not right, but I listened to every word you said.
That's a first, anyway, that you actually listened to me.
You know, now, incorporating several Olympic names in the analysis kind of caught my attention a bit.
Just let me know when I can explain my comment. That's all.
Sure. How's Tuesday?
Yeah, that's today. That'd be great.
No, next Tuesday.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll try and write it down so I remember it.
Are you in?
I'm there.
Oh, good. Fabulous.
What's going on Tuesday that I don't know about?
Well, today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance have served the Valley for more than 50 years. Kratzer Insurance has a very simple motto. Service and price mean everything to them because they know it means everything to you. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, where customer service, by the way, at Sunbury Motors is number one without a doubt. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. To Chicago we go. And someone I consider to be a very good friend, one of the truly great guys and outstanding at his job, Rick Pizzo. Rick, my friend, it is great to be with you again.
Steve, always good to hear your voice, my friend.
Same here. Hey, Rick, you and I have talked a couple times before Big Ten hockey got rolling, and you were really excited about the possibilities. Now that you're seeing it play out on the air, especially on Friday nights, what's your thoughts about what Big Ten hockey and the brand has done to push college hockey forward?
Well, I think it's really changing the landscape, and we can't take all the credit at the Big Ten Network. I mean, we're happy to do the Frozen Fridays. We love to give the exposure to these players and these teams, but as I was talking with your colleague Brian Tripp just a minute ago, I think one of the interesting things now is there are so many outlets that have to fill so much airtime with sports, not just BTN, but you look across your dial and you see CBS College Sports, NBC Sports Network, ESPNU. They have to have live programming, and college hockey fits in. It may always be a niche sport, but I think the more it's put on these national outlets and the more people get to see the quality of play and the atmosphere in places like State College, like Madison, like Minneapolis, it will become a little bit less of that niche sport that it currently is.
And the other thing, too, someday we're going to get you out of that studio and get you call a game. How much fun that would be as well here.
You know, it's kind of tough. We're not exactly dialed in right now in terms of a ton of guys who have the hockey knowledge. We've got to get a couple of more here in our Chicago area, and then I finally get to get on the road.
That sounds good. I like that very much. Let's talk a little bit about Big Ten basketball for a moment. We see at the top Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Ohio State's now been able to right the ship, Wisconsin. So there's five. What do you think about Nebraska and what they might need to do here down the stretch to give the Big Ten six? Because obviously Minnesota has started to fade.
Yeah, you know, Nebraska's won five in a row. They've won seven of eight. that's the good news. The bad news is that during this streak, Michigan State is really the only win that truly resonates. Now, you look at the remainder of their schedule, they have one really tough game left. It's their finale. It's against Wisconsin. Now, if they run the table in the regular season and then go to the Big Ten tournament, win at least one game, they are absolutely 100% in. If they win the three games they're supposed to win and then lose to Wisconsin in the finale, so basically hold serve as we would expect, I still think they have to win two games in the Big Ten tournament. A lot of people would look at the record and say, but they're 11-7 in the conference. Listen, I've sat in on these mock selection committee meetings. They don't look at conference record. They look at wins and losses against RPI top 50 and top 100, and Nebraska still has a ton of work to do in those areas.
Yeah, they do like that you can go someplace and win. That's why the Michigan State thing is going to be one in their back pocket.
No doubt.
Down the road. When you look at what Ohio State has done, the flipping of Sam Thompson into the starting lineup and Shannon Scott coming off the bench, has that balanced out Ohio State's lineup in such a way because Scott and Kraft are really such similar players?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Steve. I think you had two guys out there whose limitations were the same on the offensive end. Sam Thompson is a completely different player. Now, he's not going to hit 17 or 18-foot jump shots, but he's going to drive to the rack. He's going to play above the rim. And that's something that, other than Sam Thompson, Ohio State doesn't really have. We expected LaQuinton Ross to be that mismatch, nightmare for opposing defenses. He disappears too often. So they need a guy who can get above the rim, play exciting basketball, play a different brand of basketball than Shannon Scott did. And Ohio State, very quietly, Steve, they've won 6 of 7. Everybody's talking about Wisconsin and Michigan. I know Ohio State still has some offensive liabilities, but they're going to be a top 5, maybe a top 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. And with Thad Mata coaching, you are always a tough out.
No question about that. And I think, again, the fact that he balanced and changed the dynamics of his floor with one move, I think it's one of the smart coaching moves that we'll see in the conference this season.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes your team just needs a spark, even if it's just to change things up. Whether it's putting a new player in, whether it's taking a timeout, whether it's getting a technical on purpose. Maybe not the Jim Boeheim kind, but a different kind of technical. Sometimes your team just needs a spark, and that was the spark the Buckeyes needed.
Rick, what is it about Wisconsin? They hit a little lull, but what is it that has allowed them to be a consistent winner?
It's two things to me. It's getting back to their defensive principles, because when they hit a lull, they were playing defense, which was completely atypical of the defense that Bo Ryan teams have played over a decade. In a two-game span, Steve, they gave up 100 points in the paint. Now, you could go back during the entire time that Bo Ryan has been in Madison, and you would never find a two-game stretch where that happened. Since that two-game stretch, which was that loss to Indiana included in there, they have tightened up defensively, and Frank Kaminsky has become a bit of a different player. He is now going down low. He is showing that he has post moves, and he's not just that European-style big man that can hit threes. If he's a consistent option down low, and they can also run Nigel Hayes onto the floor, and you have the guys in the perimeter that can shoot lights out, Wisconsin is a team, and I know that so many people will tell me I'm crazy. I think they have legitimate Final Four capability this year if they get the right draw in the tournament.
I think the same thing, because I think Hayes is a mismatch for people. The fans have not seen him here yet, and he is a marvelous young player. I always have liked Decker. But I think the key guy for them that actually makes them what you're talking about is that quietly Trey Jackson is getting better and better.
And he is so clutch, Steve.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the kind of attention for hitting clutch shots that other guys do, and I'm not sure why. He's hit 4 shots in the last 2 conference seasons that have either won them the game in the final seconds or have taken the game to overtime, in which they've then won the game in overtime. He's not afraid of the moment. He has stopped making silly mistakes, and yet he's still able to create the plays that he created a year ago while he was still making some of those mistakes. He stays out of foul trouble and is able to run that offense. I really like this team in the postseason, much better even than I like them against Big Ten competition.
Yeah, because they're just a very balanced team. See, teams that I like are ones that have when you look at their consistent, the ability to score and the ability to defend, and the reason I like that is because if you're a one-trick pony, you're going to hit a game where suddenly your trick doesn't work. If you're able to do both ends equally. I mean, being like a top 30 rated type of team in each area, that tells me that you can win a game where you're not scoring, or you can win a game where the other guy's getting points.
And I'll tell you, Steve, that's why I don't believe in two teams that a lot of people do. And it's Michigan, who I know leads the Big Ten, yeah, and I know has beaten Michigan State twice.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, they only have right now two guys who you can count on night in and night out, and that's Nick Stauskas and Caris LeVert. They yeah. don't have a guy down low. Glenn Robinson III has not become that guy. If Stauskas has a cold night, this team has no chance to be quality competition, and they're going to need him to do that. Remember the NCAA tournament, two games in 3 days on back-to-back weekends to get back to the Final Four. He has an off game. They could lose to anybody. Right. And as for Iowa, that inconsistency, especially at the yeah. end of games where they can't find a way to win, even on their home floor. Two very talented teams, two teams, though, that I think are better suited to win in the league than they are in the tournament. I don't think either one, despite their talent, makes a deep run in the postseason.
Now, the one I think will, as long as Keith Appling is close to 100%, is Michigan State. I think that the balance that they put on the floor when they have everybody, and that means Dawson returning, changes the dynamics. They're an NCAA-built team, not a Big Ten-built team.
And Tom Izzo knows that. That's why Tom Izzo said Adrian Payne is not playing until he's 100% healthy. But it's a big if, Steve. I mean, Keith Appling's wrist really concerns me.
Yeah.
He was holding it again during the loss to Michigan. Izzo has said that it is not an option anymore to think about holding him out for the rest of the year. The wrist is so sensitive when you're a point guard. You're dribbling the ball. You're coming off a screen. You're trying to defend. You could fall down in practice and try to break your fall. If he goes down, this team has no chance. If he's able to play at 60, 70, 80%, then absolutely they have a great opportunity to make a deep run, even to win a national championship. But to me, it is all dependent on the health of Keith Appling.
Yeah, and because he's the guy, and the guy, I think if there's any guy in the league that really benefits from his point guard being there, it's Gary Harris. If you take stuff off his plate, Rick, it's my opinion, you may disagree, but when Gary Harris has less on his plate, he's a better player.
Oh, I don't disagree at all. You saw that stretch when Appling wasn't either in the lineup or was 50% or less when he was playing, and Harris then has to create his own shot. Listen, he's a great shooter when he comes off of screens. He's a great shooter when he has the ability to spot up. He is not a great shooter when he has to create and shoot. Nick Stauskas can do that. Gary Harris, that's not really his game. When he's forced to handle the ball and create his own shot, he becomes much less effective, and that's exactly why Keith Appling is so important to that team.
Yeah, no question. As for the Iowa thing, it's amazing. They're a deep team, and they're a better team, in my opinion, when Olushanie's on the floor, but I've noticed Fran's reluctance to not play him in the final 5 minutes of some of those close games.
I don't get it, Steve. I really don't. I was beating the Iowa drum as loud as anybody else. I've known Fran McCaffrey since he was a coach at UNC Greensboro a decade ago, and I think he is a wonderful basketball coach. I'm not sure if he's getting from this team what this team is capable of, and that's very rare with Fran. He always gets the most out of his roster. You look at a talented point guard in Gazelle. Devin Marble can score on just about anybody. I love Olushanie's game. Aaron White, a pick and pop guy from the outside who can also kill you on the inside. They have so many different weapons. Nelson Basabe, you go on and on. They have 11 guys, 11 legitimate Division I BCS conference basketball players. They should not be struggling at the end of games like this. They should not be losing at home to basically anybody on their schedule. I finally jumped off the bandwagon after the loss to Wisconsin because I've seen this movie time and time again, missing key free throws and late game execution. It's just not there for Iowa.
And how many times have we watched the Minnesota movie? Incredible in the non-conference, build up a record, get to the Big Ten, which you and I both know. I mean, it's a minefield. I mean, I witness it every day at Penn State. Penn State's record is not what Minnesota's is. But the Minnesota thing over and over again, regardless of who's coaching is, they seem to hit these moments where they don't have enough.
Yeah, I think they overachieved, honestly, Steve, at the beginning of the year. I really do. I think DeAndre Mathieu was a very tough matchup for a lot of teams. They had never seen him before. They didn't know what he can provide. Now everybody has seen him once around. The tape on him proves that you just got to keep him from penetrating into the hole. Make sure you stay tight on him out at the top of the perimeter. He becomes a much less effective player. I still don't believe Dre Hollins is 100%. He doesn't seem to be elevating like he did in the past. And a guy that size, if you can't truly elevate skate off that ankle to get the shot from the top of the release point, you're not going to have a good chance to shoot 50-55%, and that's what they need from him. I just look at their schedule. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see any way they right the ship in time to get into the NCAA tournament at day's end.
No, neither do I. I think that the hole's too big for them right now. How tough a selection is Big Ten Player of the Year?
Boy, it has rotated, I think, week by week. At the start of conference play, before he got hurt, if Adrian Payne had stayed healthy, I thought he was the guy.
Yeah, me too.
And then I kind of vacillated back and forth between Stauskas and Harris. A couple of weeks ago, I thought to myself, is Devin Marble now in the mix? At one point, Yogi Ferrell had to be considered. Yeah. I think right now, based on what Nick Stauskas did in the second half against Michigan State, he has a slight lead. If my vote was cast today, I would vote for Nick Stauskas. But that lead is razor thin. I mean, we're talking Gore Bush. We're talking hanging Chad folks. It's going to be that close at the end of the year. It's going to come down to the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, see, and I'm the same way. I'm going to hold off to the last second on my vote. I'm just going to hold off on it because I just think it's... I'll tell you a guy that's entered my conversation, Pettaway.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he's going to be on my first team all Big Ten, without a doubt, because Nebraska doesn't come close to doing what they're doing without him. He's the emotion leader. And you know what he is, Steve? He's one of those very rare guys who is confident enough to believe that in late-game situations, he's going to make the shot against anybody, but not so cocky that he believes he can do it all by himself. Yeah. We spoke with him a couple of times on BTN Live. I love his attitude, his passion. He has that emotion without the cockiness. I just think he is a terrific player. I believe this Nebraska team with Tim Miles, that facility to play in, that home crowd, and those facilities to recruit to, this is not a one-trick pony. This is going to be a team that's going to be around and a Big Ten contender for years to come.
Yeah, I think that they're well positioned. I think they're in a good spot. The combine. Anything surprise you about the combine? The Lawan time was tremendous. I got to give him a lot of credit. He ran himself quite a time there. Everybody else has been kind of where I thought they would be.
Yeah, I was shocked at that time. I mean, I thought he would run a good, solid sub-5 time. I did not think he would run the fifth fastest time in the last 9 years among all offensive linemen. And remember, this came a day after he just killed it on the bench press.
Right.
And everybody knows how good he is fundamentally. I mean, he was the only guy on that offensive line last year who could block anybody. He made so many calls and so many adjustments just for them to be able to gain 2-3 yards per carry. And now you go with those fundamentals and that mean streak that he has, the measurables. I really think he's elevated himself to a top 10 pick. He's probably going to be the second lineman behind Matthews off the board. As far as surprises, I don't think there is one. I mean, you look at Allen Robinson, and I've had a couple of people say to me, well, that's a disappointing 40 time. It really isn't. It's the time that we knew Allen Robinson was going to run.
Right.
Allen Robinson's not a burner. He's not going to kill anybody with his speed. What he's going to do is run really good routes. He's going to high point the football, and he's going to use his physicality. He's going to be an Anquan Boldin type guy. Yeah. Anybody that thought he was going to blow by opposing cornerbacks never watched him play in college.
I mean, because look, he finds holes.
Great job just finding the football.
Yeah, he finds holes in coverages and so forth. You know, you put the ball to the outside, he's a hands guy. In the inside, the one negative he does have on the inside is that he has a tendency to body catch the ball once in a while. But that's about it. I mean, the guy is a perfect number two fit, and Bill did a great job last year of playing him at all three wideout spots, so he knows how to play all the spots.
Yeah, he's a guy who is what he is. He's one of those guys, don't worry about the combine. Watch what he did the last 2 years in Big Ten play. Watch what he did in college on the field. That's the guy you're going to get in the NFL.
Do they do enough to look at a football player versus a workout guru?
You know, I think some guys do. I think some GMs are enamored with 40 times, with bench presses, with how the guys look when they show up in the body suits. You know, do they have the quote-unquote good body, bad body? I think other GMs, you look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just drafts football players. That's worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so much of it is fit. You know, you look at the Oakland Raiders, they don't care about anything but 40 times.
Right.
I mean, it all depends on what team drafts you and what system you go into. Some really good GMs and head coaches in pro football, and there's some that are very, very questionable.
My friend, it's always great talking with you. Look forward to seeing you very soon, probably in Indy.
Sounds good, Steve. I'll see you then, my friend.
That is Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network.
Kevin's analysis momentarily. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
That was really interesting, you know, what you said about the Pizzo interview.
Just wait. There's another half hour to go. I'm going to get all this stuff in.
You already have. I've heard everything. Are you saying the audience hasn't heard a word you've said?
Uh-huh.
That explains the rating spike.
You do know that I have control of whether you get on the air or not, right? You do know that.
I have five letters for you. R-O-G-E-R.
I didn't... All right, let me rephrase that. You do know that I have control of you getting on the air for one day, don't you?
Oh, my buddy and I will be back. Final half hour in a moment. First, the news. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Cover it all. Their model's very simple. Service and price. It means everything to you. It means everything to them. They've served the Valley for more than five decades. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. And speaking of decades of service to the Valley, Sunbury Motors. You want to find out why they have so many repeat customers over the years? So many of them? Why don't you jump in there? You'll end up being a repeat customer as well once you buy. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. I've received a series of emails. People anxious to hear your analysis. Apparently all from the same email account, but still there were several sent.
But they were all different names. I mean, assuming they were different names.
Yes, the last one that was signed, M. Schifrin, I thought... It was a little bit dicey, but go ahead.
Did I go too far on that one?
An admission. By the way, very quickly, I want to thank Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten Network, for being on with us. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, being on with us today. We're going to have Chris Dobertine, who will take a look at bracketology coming up on the show. I think we're going to go with Chris on Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to have on Tim Nevert from Pirate Spring Training. They open with the Yankees tomorrow. And also Jeff Byers, Penn State Wrestling.
Actually, we had a question on Facebook about that, if it was today or later this week. So there's your answer. It is actually Jeff Byers tomorrow.
Jeff Byers will be on tomorrow. So we'll have him on tomorrow to talk wrestling. And then we will have on Tim Nevert from Bradenton tomorrow.
And also tomorrow, I was going to say real quick, also tomorrow we're going to be giving away tickets to see Penn State, Ohio State, the game Thursday night. We'll have those tickets to give away tomorrow after 3.
And Chris Dobertine on bracketology coming up on Thursday. All right.
right, go ahead. You've been anxious to speak.
Well, this is something that a lot of my friends and I have talked about over the years several times. And,
all right, let's go to the phone lines.
And I was going to say, we're going to go to the phone line in a minute, so I'll continue that thought.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding about that. Just kidding. You may keep going. You're not, you know, you're not in trouble here.
No, really, I had to go to the phone line.
then go to the phone line.
Dave, you're on the line in
Sunbury. Hi, Dave, how are you?
Okay, Steve.
Dave, if you could take up the next 15 minutes or so, we'll miss out on Kevin's analysis.
Well, I'll tell you what. I might be able to help you out just a little bit.
There you go.
I'm looking at Daily Item, the editorial today.
Okay.
It says, the editorial says, Dear Mark Emmert, can you hear Penn State? Shall I read the whole article?
I haven't seen it, but Kevin can certainly give me cliff notes here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just go over the main gist of it, if you would.
Well, it had to do with Song and the new football coach took part of it, but it also said, hey, it's not just the football town. Why don't you bother checking out the rest of the town and the university before you go off on your little tangent like you did 2 years ago?
Well, I've mentioned this a couple of times. I think everyone knows how I feel about it. I think I've been about as strong an advocate of the culture of Penn State and where football fits in, I think, than anybody out there. Bill O'Brien would probably be next in terms of speaking out and being rather blunt about it. And I think Thon's just one of many examples. I know a lot of people throw a lot into Thon. I think Thon's fundraising has increased the last couple of years because people have wanted to help out and also show their pride in Penn State. I think that's been a big part of it. The students do a great job. Now, one of the individuals that's been central in this dealing with the NCAA and has certainly been interviewed enough on TV is Vicky Trippany, and she's the one that tried to get Thon cut down to 24 hours because she thought students were missing too many classes on Monday.
Well,
okay. And that didn't fly because they cut it down to 46, then the next thing was they were going to cut it to 44. She wanted to cut to 24. And again, that was another problem, a rift between that segment and the students. But it's many things here that make this area more than, quote, the football culture. It is the 90% graduation rate of football players. It's the 75%+ graduation rate of all student athletes. It is the coaches versus cancer drive on this campus that has Penn State in the top 10 among the 350 schools nationally in Coaches versus Cancer fundraising. It's what Thon does here on this campus as well. You see with the Special Olympics being hosted here every single year, and we're going to have the Beaver Stadium run that the Paternos, of course, have been a driving force behind with the finish line's the 50-yard line. And we lost a true American hero yesterday in Colonel Jerry Russell, who was on Iwo Jima, who was on Guadalcanal, who fought in Korea, fought in Vietnam, finally transitioned to Penn State, and was a driving force in the Center County United Way Day of Caring, was always in charge of the track venue at Special Olympics, and was a very, very special, special man. And he has always been, to me, we loosely use the term hero in sports. Colonel Jerry Russell was a true American hero. 4 Purple Hearts in his lifetime and constantly giving back to the community. And every time he asked the community, Special Olympics, Toys for Tots, Center County United Way Day of Caring, the community poured out in droves, including student athletes at Penn State who on the Center County United Way Day of Caring poured out in droves and helped out all the time. Special Olympics, student athletes helping out in droves, refereeing, volunteering, being a part of the support system when it comes to the opening closing ceremonies. The list goes on and on and on. As I have said repeatedly on this show and to every group possible, Penn State has a beautiful culture, and I'm proud I'm part of it.
Well, Steve, there's one. I just got another part of the paper. It's called Health. Okay, it's a section about doctors and that kind of stuff. And on the back page of the Health, there's hockey player gives to strangers aid.
Yeah, David Glenn. Glenn donated his bone marrow.
Yep. This is one on that.
Yeah.
That the NCAA president.
I mean, David Glenn donated his bone marrow. You know what,
yeah.
Dave? He did not know who was receiving it. All he knew is that it was a woman in her 50s, and he knew that he had to do it because it was the right thing to do, and he missed three games in order to do it.
Exactly.
Now, I realize this heck hole of a culture here, I mean, really... I'm embarrassed to be a part of something like that.
When you were talking about that, I saw this article about the editor, if you write letter to the editor, and then I said, well, there's another thing that says, football does play a part in it, just a part. It's not the whole thumb.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with having football be a fun enterprise at any university. If you're going to play, you take it seriously as long as you keep your priorities straight. The priorities have been straight here for 127, 128 years. Okay?
Yeah.
They have been. Academics have always come first. I mean, this is the same university that Denny Oncotts took a test the morning of a game and then played a game because he had to take a game. This is the same university where Joe Jaravicius, whom I like so much and Joe liked a lot, but he said, look, you cut one more class, you can't go to the bowl game. He cut a class, he couldn't go to the bowl game. Okay, this is the same culture. It's been like this over and over and over again. And the list of examples, okay, is the place perfect? No. Okay, is the place still a really great place to be with a great culture? Yes.
No, the only reason you said about not being perfect, because it's human beings.
Right.
Right?
Is the NCAA building in Indianapolis a perfect place to work?
No, because they're human, too.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I said perfectly. I mean, for people who work there, I know love working there, okay?
Yeah.
And I know some people, they love working there. Is it perfect? They'll tell you no. Well, guess what? Every place is like that. Of course, obviously, except unless you're working with Kevin Herb.
No, I said, no, I was looking through the paper and I seen that about, you know, that editorial about, you know, NCAA. And I just think of the different places he's been and what he's done. As far as an individual,
mm-hmm.
firing certain coaches because they stressed more academics than winning, even though they were winning over 50% of their games, but that wasn't good enough.
We could maybe go into an expose on him at another time. I think I'd rather I would rather stay away from personalities right now because I think Penn State's close to working its way out of it here.
Yeah, but all I was talking about is there's so much more than just the athletics. There's also academics and the things you do for the community and stuff.
And there's a lot of things that go on here, and you know what thing? Something that really bothered me in all this.
Mm.
And believe me, when we talk about these things, don't think for a second. I don't think about the number one priority, and that's any victim in this. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's now that's established. Let's talk about an ancillary issue. Okay. I don't like, in part, not only what Penn State's had to go through. I'll tell you right now how badly they made the fans feel. I mean, that they kind of made them feel like, embarrassed for a period of time. You know, not everybody, but some. And some people felt that way. Like, is it okay to cheer? Is it okay to be? I mean, I'm telling you, there's so many levels to this thing that bother me. But Penn State is close to working its way out of it, and I can't wait for them to work their way out of it. And that way, the whole thing can feel whole again.
Okay.
Even though, and hopefully, yeah. any missteps that happen along the way that caused a problem, hopefully, it never comes close to happening again.
Okay. Well, Steve, I just want to leave this with you.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in and around Sunbury basically all my life, okay?
Right.
And some people come from North Carolina up here and kill an individual, allegedly. But now this town has got Sunbury, you know, has got a black eye across the nation because of the reports of what that couple did to that individual.
Right.
So there's that, you know, people...
That's an interesting in terms of perception. It's an interesting analogy because you and I know that Sunbury and the valley itself is one of the more beautiful places on the face of the earth to live and be in.
For all the years of different people sweating their lives away, somebody comes in here out of nowhere, causes a catastrophe, and now here the town is. I don't particularly, you know. I have just say differences with the mayor, but when he stuck up and said, hey, what this town's for is because the people here have lived here all their lives, they blood and sweat, you know, and now somebody comes in out of nowhere and now we're mud.
Right.
And the thing goes, Kevin Herr.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it because I know we do have to take a break.
Okay, talk to you later.
And then the Kevin Herr analysis that we've been aching for all day is upon us.
I can't wait. I know I'm excited.
No, really. If we could get one more call, it'd be great. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. Kratzer Insurance Agency.
All right, make your point. You got 5 minutes.
All right. I think I can do it in 5 minutes.
Okay. Please, 800-795-9565. You two can save the show now.
I think I speak for a lot of not avid college basketball fans, but don't understand why the league champion doesn't get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Only if you win your tournament do you get the automatic bid. There is a chance, especially and a likely chance for the mid-majors, that the league champion doesn't even get into the tournament, but a team that got hot at the right time and wins their league or wins their league tournament will get their berth to the NCAA playoffs. That just doesn't seem right to me. In that particular case, it makes the regular season pointless.
Hmm. Okay, so the New York Giants and Baltimore Ravens are not Super Bowl champions?
Why?
Well, they... One year, the Giants didn't even win their division.
Oh, you mean coming from a wild card? I'm not fond of the wild card either. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm not fond of the wild card.
Denver and Seattle didn't play during the regular season. You must have loved that. Oh, that game turned out lousy.
I also didn't like it when Major League Baseball brought the wild card in, too. Did it make it more interesting? Yes, I concede that. It made it more interesting. Do the NCAA tournaments make the end of the season more interesting? Absolutely. I'm willing to concede that. But if you don't win your league, there should be some sort of a benefit for winning your league. At least in the NFL, Major League Baseball, you get home field advantage or you get a first-round bye. At least there's some benefit there. But in college basketball, if you win your league, what's the real benefit?
Well, the problem comes with the lower-level leagues, all right?
That's a big problem.
Because, well, in what way?
Because the league means absolutely nothing then. Odds are the league champion isn't going to make the tournament, but the tournament league tournament champion will.
Most tournament champions are usually the regular season champion, 70%, 75% of the time. If that were the case, then the entire NIT would be loaded with the people you're talking about.
That number's a little higher than I suspected it would have been.
It's 70% that they win it, and usually it's on their home court. That's part of all this, that you end up hosting the game on your court, which makes, I think, a little bit of a difference, especially in postseason play. The BCS conferences, look, the conference regular season champion is getting in, as are other people.
Sure.
All right, so it's not as much of a concern. Now, is it fair that a South Carolina gets hot, runs its way, gets it, you know, wins the championship of the SEC, and all of a sudden they end up being, and to let you know what the committee thought of them, the lowest at large is a 12 for BCS. You never see an at large for a BCS school be 12.
Is that a rule
Oh, no.
Is that an unwritten rule?
No, it's not an unwritten rule. It's just a fact of life.
Okay.
South Carolina won the SEC championship, and where did they end up? 13. That tells you something. They've expanded the tournament over the years. Settled on 64 for a long period of time. Now it's at 68, so they've opened up three more spots. There are more mid-majors in than ever before. There are more mid-majors in than ever before. And more at-large mid-majors in than ever before. All right? You're just trying to generate and create excitement. But the regular season has great meaning. I mean, Nebraska right now, how many wins do they need to get into the tournament? Well, they're going to need some wins because their non-conference schedule is not going to be strong enough. So they're struggling at this point. Minnesota looked like they were in the tournament 3 weeks ago. Their regular season, they have now played themselves out of it. So the regular season has great meaning, especially when you talk to teams that are in that category of last four in, first four out. That's why the NIT is such a good tournament. And you see quality basketball in the NIT. There are a lot of good teams that get left out because their regular seasons weren't enough to get them in. Plus, conference tournament championship week's exciting. Everybody has a chance.